I'm new here. This is actually the first adult Sunday school class I've been to in about 3 years.
Backslider.
I am a backslider. They usually keep me locked up downstairs with the kids. So any levels of maturity and decorum that Rod has brought in the past few weeks are out the door here. So I've been teaching fifth and sixth graders. So if I instinctively call you down to put your fidget spinner away or stop braiding the girl's hair next to you, that's just my instinctive go-tos, okay? My name is Jared Bridges. I am the elder for Family Ministries, so that's why I've been with the kids most of the time downstairs. I do want to say very quickly a few things that are going on in the children's ministry. I know we had a class, y'all had a class a few weeks ago on protections in the home and how do we keep our kids safe during the digital age in our home. One of the things we're also focused on in the children's ministry is protecting the children here in the church. And we've always had certain protections in place. We are kind of putting renewed emphasis on them and reevaluating a lot of our policies, tweaking them, things like making sure we have two workers in each classroom, making sure we have background checks. A lot of our children's workers are going to taking a class on recognizing and dealing with child sexual abuse. We have just a greater general awareness of that and the potential dangers for kids, talking about bathroom policies. A lot of that, we're evaluating and working on a lot of that. So we're tweaking those to make those fit our church, but with a priority on keeping our kids safe based on the fallout of our digital age, because that's exacerbated a lot of those problems. So we are hard at work doing that. If you have questions about that, feel free to ask me or any other members of the Family Ministry Council as we do that. So we are here today to talk about social media, and our time is already running. So first of all, I want to talk about why am I up here talking about social media? I've, at the amateur level and at the professional level, I've kind of worked behind the scenes and I guess in front of the scenes in digital communications for 20 years now. That makes me sound really old, but in thinking about 20 years in digital communication, that's kind of near the birth of digital communication. So I built my first personal web page in 1996, and social media was kind of a dream there, but there were some beginning aspects of it even there. So we had a few years later than that, the blogging revolution started, and the comments section lived there. And also about the same time, message boards were coming online. And I had a job where I managed the message board for Bill Dance Great Outdoors fishing website. And you think that might be pretty tame, but fishermen get pretty riled up on message boards. I mean, I would have to shut down arguments about what kind of fly lure was best or something like that, and basically say, shouldn't y'all be out fishing? You know? I mean, people would spend inordinate amount of time. We'd have, you know, these commenters that, I don't know what they did all day except comment and go to these websites and put comments on there. I mean, you could say these fishermen were hooked on it. So it is bad. So, but I've been able, from my position, I've been able to see the best and the worst of social media. I've seen social media encourage people greatly, and I've seen the very nasty side of it. In my work, I have oversight over the digital operations of my organization. It's a Christian organization in DC, and we have my boss lives in Louisiana, and his house was flooded last fall during the floods down in Baton Rouge, and he lost his house. And he's also an interim pastor at his church, and our organization has spoken out on marriage as being between a man and a woman very clearly on that issue in public policy. But so the BBC, of all outlets, the BBC website runs an article that says anti-gay pastor loses house in flood. That was the headline. And several of the echo chambers started to pick it up. And then over a weekend, of course, his Facebook page started getting attacked. So me and three of my team members spent all weekend deleting and banning over 5,000 commenters who came in and saying just vile, nasty, some death threats, and beyond that. And glee that he lost his house and got flooded, and wishing that worse had happened. So, and these aren't just anonymous comments, because they were on Facebook. They had the person's picture beside it and their name. And so shame is almost out the door in social media these days. I mean, some people still have some of it, but that many people have very little. So as Christians, and we tackle this, how do Christians operate in this world? First question is, do we operate in this world? And I think the previous classes have probably, put some perspective on that. Do Christians have to operate in social media? Do we? No, we don't have to. I mean, I'm the oldest of three brothers. I'm the only one that's on social media. And mainly because of my job, I have to be. But yeah, I have to be. But all of us, we don't have to be. I mean, and even if even Christians, some of us, it's hard to leave social media, to the point where, how many of you have seen this, and or maybe even done this? You're going to take a break from social media, but you announce it on Facebook that you're taking a break from social media, right? I always thought that was kind of odd. Like, why don't you just not do it, but say, "Oh, I'm taking a break on social media because it's so toxic," and the rest of y'all just stay there and enjoy the toxicity. I guess that's what it is. So, and that's Christians who do that. I've seen it over and over again. I think it's kind of odd, but I think when we think about this, we don't need to get too complex in thinking about how Christians should behave on social media. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." So we have the anticipated actions here in the Word of how we should handle social media. It's not something that's so new that everything the Bible speaks about is old-fashioned. So I'm going to give you the answer. It's really simple, and you can probably just go home after this. Or you can sit here for the next few minutes, because we'll talk some more about it. But the real answer is, how do Christians act on social media? We act like Christians. I'm done. No, I'd like to camp out a little bit in Proverbs chapter 10 and 11, or, well, a few places in Proverbs. So if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 10, we can look there a little bit. You know, a lot of times we discount the highly practical stuff that's in Scripture, where you think, oh, we've got to pour into the more theoretical, but God provides us a lot of wisdom. So if you're when you're looking at social media, be in the wisdom literature, the Psalms, Proverbs, James, even. We have, you know, there is a lot in Scripture that gives us on how to behave with other people. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 to start with. Chapter 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. I'll throw this out as a question. How would integrity play an important role for a follower of Christ on social media? What are some ways integrity could play an important role? And I do teach 5th and 6th graders, so I'll just point you out and ask you for the answer if you don't volunteer. Okay, so researching things we post and do. Has anybody heard of the term fake news? Which apparently was just added to the dictionary last week, I saw. So it's actually added to the AP style manual, but yeah. Yeah, fake news is a thing. How do we do that? What are some ways we can be sure that things we're posting are real? Snopes.com? Did I hear Snopes?
Look at the source where it's coming from first.
Look at the source where it's coming from?
Well, actually read the article.
Oh. That is brilliant, isn't it? Actually read the article before you post it, not just the headline, right? Yeah. Yeah, somebody mentions Snopes. Snopes, it gets things wrong sometimes. Don't trust it. I know for sure because we've dealt with them on issues related to abortion and stuff. They're bad on that. They don't have good information on that. So they have a
circular reference.
Yeah,
they just refer back and forth to each other.
Yeah, people refer back and forth to each other. Wikipedia is a good place for reliable information, right? No. Not at all. Maybe if it's the elephants or something like that, you know. But anything that has any kind of controversy, it's not going to be reliable. It's just a biased source. What else about integrity is important for us in social media?
I would say like avoid saying things that you wouldn't say in a real conversation, face to face.
Okay. Yeah, avoid things you would not say face-to-face to people. Does social media cause us, or can it cause us to be a different person? Can we be a different person online? Yeah. Anybody ever remember the old Brad Paisley song, Online? Go listen to that sometimes. It's country, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of a poke at people's different online personas. A lot of people, and I've met people who are very, very articulate, very powerful on social media, and then you meet them and they don't say anything. And it's very different. So it allows us to have different voices, but are we the same person online as we are elsewhere? And I think whoever walks in integrity walks securely. If you make your ways crooked, you'll be found out. If your way changes when you're on social media, it's going to be found out.
It affects your testimony.
Yeah, it affects your testimony. Have you seen Christians acting without integrity on social media? Who has? Raise your hand. It's about 70-80%. What goes on in your mind when this happens? Shock, a little bit sometimes.
Cringe.
I cringe. Yeah, you want to post something else? Some corrective. It affects our witness. You know, you see people, Facebook especially, because Facebook shows what you're doing. You see somebody that, you know, they're liking some, you know, it comes across your feed that they've liked some crazy thing that Christians shouldn't be liking. And you're like, oh, that's very, very revealing. And it does affect our testimony. Turn to Proverbs. Oh, you don't even have to turn. It's verse 11. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Our words are powerful. Very powerful. What ways could our words be a fountain of life on social media? What kinds of ways? Yeah, so having an intentionality in our responses to point them to Christ. That's good. How else can our words be life-giving?
Maybe just knowing your audience. Like your friends on Facebook extend different beliefs and thoughts. So the way you would share something, maybe be careful of, be aware that you might have non-believing family members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So know who we're talking to. You know, our audience isn't necessarily they don't all think just like us all the time. What ways could our words be violent? The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Pardon? Political seasons. Yeah. Right. Yeah, our passion for, whether it be political issues or other controversial topics, shouldn't contradict with our character, right? It should follow our character and should be guided by our character and our commitment to Christ. You know, Matthew 5, 21 and 22, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." You know, our words can be violence. You know, it's equated with violence, and words start violence, right? Violence doesn't just all the time emerge by itself. They're usually sparked by words. So the words we say and the level that we respond to people, we should be responding with care and as if we're providing a fountain of life. Even though this person is dead wrong and they need to be corrected and you need to be the one to correct them, because, you know, nobody else. I often akin, you know, sometimes the arguments we make on social media are like, you know, who's ever been to a baseball game where they've seen the manager arguing a called pitch with the umpire ever change an umpire's mind? Has it ever happened? No, it has never happened. And yet, they still do it. And sometimes the venue and it's just not the right place to make the argument. You know, we're throwing our pearls to swine in a way. Ron.
On how that discussion's going. If you overstepped, if you injured them with your words or something, you could realize that and say, well, I didn't mean it that way, and you can continue the dialogue. When you're online, you just launch it out there, and you have no idea what the effect is on that person. And if they're a fragile person, which you see a kind of a lack of resiliency in a lot of people, you could be very thoughtful about, is it worth winning the point of the debate to cause injury?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, is it worth winning the point of the debate to cause injury? And most of the time, it's not. Carl?
Yeah, and
tone is very difficult to convey in a tweet or a Facebook comment. You can say kofefe and nobody knows what you're gonna mean. You know, you can bring down the entire traditional media for 24 hours by saying one nonsense word. I mean, it's amazing.
Jared, I was just gonna say almost all the things that I've said kind of connect to self, especially in social media. You know, when we make those little points on social media, is it really out of concern for the person we're talking to? Or are we showing off to all our friends the best little point across? It's all sort of exalting myself. And it's almost impossible not to fall into that when you're, you know, in the rhythm of social media. Yeah. That's what it's set up to do, glorify self.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, yeah, who are we, when we're making arguments on social media, who are we promoting? Are we promoting the other person, trying to be life-giving to them, or are we trying to show off, for example?
That's part of it, going back to what Lori said about your audience, if you're talking to non-Christians, then we know the biblical truth is foolishness to them. So to try to convince them on social media of biblical truth tends to be a pretty fruitless effort. The other part is when we're asked to confront people with their sin, we're to do that one-on-one initially, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Social media is not a one-on-one environment. So now you're confronting them in front of the world. I don't know how everyone else in this room feels, but I don't like to be shamed in front of the entire world.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Confronting people's sin at the correct level? You know, I think there are a lot of times where, you know, these discussions are best taken. Let's take this offline and talk about it face to face, because I guarantee you it's going to be a lot less hostile in most cases if it's face to face. Now, there's some people you don't even want to get into, but for most people, there's going to be less hostility and more productivity in the conversation if it's brought face to face. And it shows a level of caring that's greater too. You know, I care about you enough to take time to talk about this with you rather than just do it on my phone while I'm eating lunch or so. All right, turn to look at verse 21 in chapter 10. This is kind of follows on the same in the same line. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. What are some ways that we as Christians can feed others on social media? Yeah.
But not letting Facebook be a substitute for actually doing something.
Yeah.
Well, I posted a sad face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you had a relative die, and I put my sad face on there, so that's, yeah, that doesn't cover it, does it? No.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah, expressing appropriate emotions with people, being able to help them in that way. What are some other ways we can help feed people? Mm-hmm.
Sorry, to hit the broad audience instead of sending 100 emails out, just put it on Facebook. But then my response should be to follow up.
Yeah, follow up physically what is put out virtually. The physical should follow the virtual, kind of virtual reality, right?
So if there's a real relationship.
Yeah. 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 How many of your Facebook friends or Twitter followers will come and prepare you a meal when you get home from the hospital? What percentage? Yeah. Probably not a lot. Oh, are you going to tell me what percentage?
Continuing to pursue, because just reaching out in that moment of, you know, their crisis, being like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry, even if it is a private message, like, okay, well, what good is that going to do in the long term if you're not prepared to really walk through that burden and that struggle with someone? Don't even comment, because you're just being yet another person that's going to let them down when they see, okay, 80 people commented, you know, that they're praying, but who's followed up with them? Like, what confidence is that going to give someone in who Christ is, in being, you know, unrelentless in his love for us, if we are very conditional in our love for people?
Yeah. Yeah, and that goes back to integrity, too. You know, there's people in my life that I've known who said, I'll pray for you, and I don't know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but there's also people whom I know, they said they're praying for me. I know they're on their knees every day praying for me. And so, how do you follow up that physically is a challenge if all they see is how you interact with them on social media. The other side of that of verse 21 is fools die for lack of sense. What are some ways we can be foolish? Anybody have any experience with that?
Well, I can read comments in some articles because it kind of helps you see all perspectives, and it is just appalling some of the ways that people take their Bible and bash others and mm-hmm. say these hateful things followed by a Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, are you kidding me? You just sound like a fool to this unbeliever. And it's even worse when they follow up with like libtard or
God, I was thinking
some of those other words that they use, and you just shake your head. I'm a fool. Don't associate me with you.
Yep.
And to further that example, we have a tendency to be more critical towards other Christians who are maybe parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that causes more damage than you really realize.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That actually, Gary, is it? I've got a term for these people. There's a certain class of Christians whom I call the protectors, and these Christians, and you've probably seen this. These Christians are so doctrinally aligned, and they're so keyed into everything that's right and everything that's wrong that they stand at the ready to correct anyone who messes up. Maybe they like some musician or something. Oh, well, this musician said this back in 1972, and if you don't say something, if you don't say something the right way, they're there to correct you, and that's all they do. Now, granted, there are times we all need to be corrected, right? Most of us, right? But is public correction on social media for minutia always the best route?
It's like the grammar police. People who just have to read and pray. It has no bearing on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Gary was saying, didn't Jesus say, they will know you are my disciples by your love?
Yeah. Yeah.
Made. And so it's like, hey, I got no choice. I got to go jump out there and say something. And I got to say it louder than everybody else. And maybe they'll hear it. Because it doesn't appear in the world you live in that fool's voice is dying. It's taking over everything, at least in your opinion. And so you have to take a step back and look at that as a Christian. But I think that is a frustration for people.
Yeah.
And social media is a way to get out there and try to make your voice as loud as possible.
Yeah,
it's
tough. And there's the damage that we leave behind, and we bring a bazooka to a knife fight. We have the entire wake of our destruction.
That's right.
And people are turned off by that.
Yeah. Yeah, we have Proverbs 26:4-5, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. The Bible's contradicting itself here, right? Or is it? There are times when we, just by stepping in the fray, we're having to answer a fool according to his folly. But we got to be careful not to fall into that same trap that we're just becoming fools ourselves and playing their game. So it's something where wisdom is called for. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12, it says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." And that's what's hard for us to do sometimes, is to remain silent. Why is it so hard for us to remain silent?
Jared, I think when we talk, whether it's social media or face-to-face or in a group, especially when we talk about coming from a position of wisdom, which wisdom is found in fear of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
we're talking in the moment rather than understanding. And what gentleman back there brought me to this thing is, it seems like the foolish voices crushing us. But we need to remember the end game. You just read the last book in the Bible. We win.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of times we communicate good advice, which is the knowledge of the Lord, not from the end position coming forward.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a position of victory. So I don't need to defend Christ. Christ defends himself. You know, I mean, and so I don't need to maybe come in that moment and bludgeon somebody with my Bible, or I'm coming from a position of victory when I give good advice or when I remain silent. The foolish voice will eventually disappear when the trumpet sounds
mm-hmm.
and Christ comes back with the sword of his tongue and
or the post falls off people's feeds.
Right. And so, so those things, I think we as Christians need to remember when we communicate, especially about knowledge of God, that we're coming from a position of victory. And that is why understanding the last book
mm-hmm.
drives what we do every day, today, as we interact with everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We need to look at every conversation we have, whether it's on social media or face-to-face, as from the perspective of who wins in the end. Every you might not win every argument or comment thread or tweet interaction or Snapchat or whatever.
And I might need to be silent.
Yeah, you might need to be silent.
And let the Holy Spirit work that out, or pray before you say anything.
Yeah. I mean, we have the example of Jesus. He doesn't even answer the accusations during, look at the Passion. How many times does he just stay silent?
I think it's quite being on guard, not just feeding off our own, whatever feeling we have, just throw it out there. He says, be on guard. I've told you all this ahead of time, so you won't be surprised. If people are supposed to ask us about how we can be so peaceful and joyful during the mayhem, not that we're freaking out because things are so crazy. No one asks us about that. That's what everyone does. The question is, how can you be so peaceful and confident at a time like this?
Yeah, it shows confidence, Silas does. Yeah. Self-examination helps us to avoid pitfalls, examining our motives for doing things. And it's not getting any easier out there. We've seen in the last year the rise of Facebook Live. There's other competitors coming out to that where you can just take whatever it is you're doing that day and broadcast it out. I mean, I've seen this in the realm I work in. The television networks are shaking in their boots about this because it is supplanting them. They're even broadcasting stuff on Facebook, but it's something that's becoming, an old movie, The Truman Show. Weird to say that's an old movie, but it is an old movie now, but where our lives are always on, or they have the potential to always be on. A conversation you're having with someone could be broadcast to the entire world. And one point I would like to make is that, the internet is forever. So whether it is a tweet you make or a Facebook post you make and then delete or anything like that, I mean, I always tell my staff at work is treat anything you do online, even if it's an email you write, treat anything to do as it could be published in the New York Times or USA Today. This could be front page. Treat everything as if it could be front page, because you have to, because it could be. I mean, look at Covfefe. I mean, it's everything could be out there, but that should not be new to us as Christians, should it? Because the eyes of the Lord are always on us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just bringing into reality the truth that every single word that we say will be brought before the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So to Tim's point, I mean, our eschatology, what we believe about the judgment day, should impact every single thing that we say and do today. Right? And so we may have a human fear of what others may see, that front page is there, and that's a reality that is now in our world, but the Lord sees it, and it will be everything in the darkness will be brought to light.
Yeah, and so that helps us in a way, because it helps us live in the light rather than in the dark and shed light on things.
But on the good side of that, though, we can be fed by social media. So we can, social media is where the masses saw what abortion really is. Like, mm-hmm. Social media is where we can advertise truth. So, as you're thinking of the victory, there is a place for truth. Like, it would make me sad if everyone had the newspapers to speak to the masses. And so as we're speaking truth, we do have to be careful not to be fooled, but not to be silent either in what is true.
Yep.
Yeah, and look for who does it well. Look for Christians who do it well. There are many, and you've probably seen them. And share those. Take examples from those.
Jared, to that point, I kind of love what Tim Brister does.
those are the live events he puts out, right? The neighbors gathering for a meal together with mm-hmm. people set up in his driveway.
No.
That, okay, you know, what, there's, that's not going to generate controversy and debate. And,
yeah. All right, we are out of time today, so we will resume next week with a panel. And
yeah, so we'll finish this up next week with a panel, and then the following week we'll start in Galatians and do that through the summer.
Okay. Let me pray for us real quick, and we'll go on. Father, we thank you for your word and how it speaks to every aspect of our life. And we thank you that you have guided us from long ago into the challenges we face today on the cutting edge. God, we thank you that you can help us to know ourselves, and you've given us this avenue to reach out to people, to speak words of life to people, and to feed people. Help us to do that. Help us not to be foolish as we do it, and help us to further your kingdom through it. I pray for all those here as they go out, whether on social media or in personal interactions. And we lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.